Amen. Thank you, Don. Appreciate Don leading singing this morning, and appreciate all your prayers. My voice is still getting better, getting stronger, but still, when I sing, it seems to affect it some. So Don offered to lead singing. I sure appreciate that, and I still can't understand the virus that I had, the infection. It was all seemed to be a stomach issue. And how in the world that affects your throat, I do not know. I had no nasal problem, no sinus issues, no sore throat. But about 2 weeks now, I've had this issue with my voice. And so I appreciate Don helping out, and hope that you'll kind of bear with me. It may squeak every now and then, so bear with that, if you will. We are on lesson number 29, The Arising Beast from the Sea. If you do not have lesson 29, raise your hand, and we'll get that for you right up here. Phyllis needs one, and I believe that is the only hand that I can see anyway. And of course, being holiday weekend, many folks are out of town already. A lot of folks, the Hollinses and Varnums, both going up into the Maine area and Massachusetts and all up in there. And they're in for lots and lots of snow. We praise the Lord for a couple of degrees difference. Otherwise, we would be buried this morning in snow. And I mean, if you like snow, don't get me wrong. I don't mind snow except when I need to go somewhere and I need to go to church. So I'm always glad when we dodge that. That would have been, I don't, is it a tenth? I don't remember the calculation, but if you get an inch of water, I think it's 10 inches of snow. Is that right? Something like that anyway. So we would have had, I don't know. Does anybody know how many inches of rain we got? I heard an inch and a half. I'm not sure. So 10 to 15 inches of snow. Ooh, that'd be exciting. All right. Well, we're in Revelation 13. Our memory verse is Revelation 13:4. It's been a little while since we had the Revelation part of our class, so let's go ahead and say our memory verse again. Together, we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13:4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13:4. And again, Revelation 13:4. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13:4. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, and I appreciate our class and the opportunity we have to study your word. And I pray that you will make it come alive in our hearts and our lives today, and that we'll be able to rejoice, though we talk about a subject that is a terrifying subject of wickedness, such a terrible thought of this Antichrist being so powerful in our world. And yet we thank you that you are more powerful, and we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray you'll teach us now and just again prepare us for every day of our lives, that we might be better Christians, that we might be a shining light for you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, several weeks ago, perhaps a month or so ago, we talked about number one is personal, talking about the Antichrist. His personal characteristics, Revelation 13, 1 and 2. "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." And we talked about his humanity, talked about, you know, again, the Antichrist is a human. He's not a robot. He's not a demon. He is a human. And he'll be born. He'll grow up, I believe, he'll go through school system wherever he's from. He'll go through all the grades, go through the school system, probably college, perhaps on to master's degree, doctorate degrees, and all of that. He's a human being. He represents a system that is against God. He represents the world's system, the cosmos system of being anti-God. And then we talked about his nationality. We talked about his abilities, how he's an intellectual. He can speak. You name it, he's good at it. Probably even a good athlete, you know. It's hard to say. We don't know that. But again, it seems to be he will have many, many abilities. Certainly we recognize that Satan can give abilities to people we've seen that as far as rock stars and all of that, and Satan opening some doors for them and in promoting them. So we have to believe the Antichrist will have abilities that in every aspect, in every area. I think the key thing is his ability in religion, because he accomplishes what has been tried since the Tower of Babel, and that is to get all the religions together. And to get this one world religion, which I call an ecumenical mess, because that's what it will be. And so he does all that. He has great abilities. He has names and titles the Bible talks about, and we went through some of those. Here he's called the Beast. And then we ended several weeks ago with his Old Testament forerunners, and just a lot of people in the Old Testament, a lot of wicked people that give an idea of what he's like. Of course, any sinner would certainly be able to be compared to the Antichrist. He is certainly not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so very important that we recognize the personal characteristics that he has. Number two, though, that we see here in Revelation 13 is his promotion. Again, it is, to me, it's amazing how he rises up and people eventually worship him. Again, he's a human being. The Bible says in verse 2, the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Again, don't misunderstand. In verse 4, they're worshiping the devil. The devil is represented here by the dragon. And for us, that seems like a strange thing. I mean, for you and I, that just seemed, how in the world could anybody, why would they worship the devil? Well, people do today. This isn't going to be something new. This is going to be something that has been going on for many, many years. And simply it has evolved into worldwide worship of the devil. And, we don't hear a lot about it because still in America, it's not accepted, if you will. But more and more it will become accepted. More and more it is becoming accepted by people. And, years ago, if somebody said, well, I'm a devil worshiper, people would, their eyes would get big and, oh, how could you possibly be that? Well, again, those days have changed, and anymore, you can't even, you wouldn't want to say anything because, oh, they would tell you that you're hateful and everything else. And we certainly have gone through a big change there. But anyway, we want to look at his promotion. And part of that is in those verses. Of course, verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so his promotion, first of all, I've just written down several things that we can understand how he's promoted and how it happens and everything. But the first thing we need to understand, his promotion is by permission of the Lord. We've got to understand that. This isn't something, wow, the devil snuck that by God. Never happens. Never can happen. Okay, God allows it to take place. You have people all the time, well, why, if this is so bad, why does God let it happen? God lets a lot of things happen. God allows many, many things to happen. God allows things to happen for us to get our attention. God allows things to happen that we might trust Him. I mean, God, many things God allows to happen, and He allows the wicked to do whatever they will do. God gives His permission, though, and you have to understand that. We have to realize that. I mean, you know, the Babylonian Empire, they conquer Jerusalem and destroy Jerusalem and take people captive and all of that. And we would say, wow, you know, boy, how did they get that? By God. God allowed it. That was God's will. God used that in the people's lives, as we know, during the times of captivity. You know, how is Joseph taken captive? How is Joseph, and now he's in Egypt, and everything has a purpose. God is in control. And so we know that the Antichrist, and though we don't like it, and it certainly is it's a terrifying thought that the Antichrist is going to have all this power, but he only has that power because God has allowed it to take place. God has given His permission. The story of Job is so clear to us that Job is going through everything he's going through because God gave His permission. And all you have to do, if you ever question circumstances and things going on and our world and everything, I mean, I would encourage you, and I've done it many times myself. I've simply gone back to the book of Job and had to be reminded of the devil, you know, Satan going to God and God giving Satan permission. You know, there is nothing that goes on that God hasn't allowed, that God hasn't in his sovereignty, he has allowed it to take place. And, he gave, just like our choices. I mean, God could have made us all robots. He could have made us all obey. But he allows us to choose. And again, often we choose wrong, but he allows us to make those choices. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 6. And now ye know what we holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, God, you know, he allows that wicked to be revealed and God lets it take place. God allows idolatry to take place. He's certainly against it. He's made it clear in his word, but he has allowed it. He allows the occult to take place. He's not for it. He's against it, but he has allowed it. False cults and all kinds of religions God has allowed to take place. He always has. But again, we have to understand that God being all-knowing, all-wise, he has a reason for all of those things. And so my first point under this is, the greatest miracle of the Antichrist's amazing promotion is because God allowed it. God allowed it. You know, the devil's not, oh, he's just so smart, he could figure this out and get around God. It's nothing at all like that. Never will be. It's not like that in your life either. Okay, whatever's happening, the devil didn't fake God out. Whatever's going on, the devil didn't figure out a back door to sneak in and usurp the authority of God. No, whatever is happening in your life, my life, whatever, God said, I will allow that to take place. And God, in his wisdom, has reason. So by permission of the Lord, his promotion, second thing, or capital B, is it is through the power of Satan. Chapter 12 and verse 9 again, going back several weeks ago, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Okay, it's the devil. It's Satan, no question about that. And chapter 13, verse 2 says, and the dragon gave him his power. The dragon gave him his power. And so the Antichrist has satanic power that has, and again, God allowed that to take place. God lets that happen. You say, well, I know people that are involved in the occult, and there are, you know, they have some powers, and they're able to do some things, and I know that to take place. I have seen that take place. I understand all that. Well, I don't totally understand it, but I know it's true. But again, it doesn't happen unless God lets it happen. Okay, it's not going to take place unless God says, okay, you can have this power. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he is only that because God has said, you can be. And so there is no power that is stronger than God. There is no power that is greater than God. And we have to understand that. And so, the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat. Okay, so now seat there is Thronos, or his throne. And so we recognize that, okay, his promotion, he has been promoted because Satan has pushed him or guided him and literally put him into that throne, that Thronos, that seat, that position. Because it adds to it, and great authority. So, you know, we talk about conspiracy theories, and Brother Harnden, I don't see him here yet, but he gets all this mail, and he goes through it, and he passes it on to me and everything, and there's certainly a whole lot more than what he looks at. He really just looks at conservative things and that, but there you know, everybody has their conspiracy theories. And all of this. Well, the truth of the matter is, there is one conspiracy. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of little ones out there, but ultimately, it just comes down to one conspiracy, and right here it is, and that is the devil's trying to promote his system. You know, Satan is out to promote satanic ways. The devil is out to promote devilish ways. They are out to promote anti-God ways. And so, you know, again, to recognize that Satan promotes this. You know, there you go back years and years ago. Well, you know, I believe there will be people in power that will they will promote their leaders in their places. And well, I mean, isn't that just politics? That really is what politics is. People have powers and they get numbers and all that, and they promote their person to be in this position. Well, Satan, he certainly is going to have his system set up to do the very same thing. Again, it doesn't mean that he's doing something supernatural to make all that happen. He can, but I'm just saying it could be simply taking our system and organizing. But the key thing is, you know, the dragon, Satan, is putting him in this position. So again, we can understand the fast, amazing, to me, miraculous promotion. Number one, because God gave permission. But number two, it's through the power of Satan. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. And there are so many references that we could look at talking about Satan and his working and that. But I think we all get the point. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 3, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You know, the revealing, we would think, In our thinking, well, if a man of sin is going to be revealed, everybody would rebel again. You know, they would never go for that. Well, again, there is satanic promotion going on, and there is people, man of sin. You know, sin is starting to win a lot of votes. Sin is starting to win a lot of votes in our nation. Sin has been winning a lot of votes in the world. You know, some of these issues, some of the homosexual issue, the abortion issue, and doesn't it amaze you how many people are for those things? Now, I'm not saying it's the majority, and I think we've proven several times that it's not the majority, but yet it blows my mind when anybody supports sin. And yet, how do we vote when we sin? Well, we're voting for sin because we're sinners. And so, again, it should not shock us so much that this will be Satan is going to reveal this man of sin and have a part in him being revealed. And again, now we see through the internet, through television, through radio, through the media, Facebook, all these different things where people are connected just by the millions where this man can be revealed. And verse 9, chapter 2 and verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. But you know, that's not pulling any punch. I mean, his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, personally, I believe that anyone who heard the gospel before the rapture takes place, before Christians are gone, you know, I believe that if they heard the gospel, they rejected the gospel, that is who this is talking about, that they will believe the lie. And so that's going to be a lot of people, and a lot of good people, you know, people that have gone to church for years, people that are religious people, but maybe somebody talked to, maybe it's somebody that you know, maybe somebody you work with, and they go to a church somewhere that doesn't preach the gospel, and they've never heard how to be saved. So you talk to them about the Lord, and you say, hey, you need to get saved. Well, you know, I'm a member of this church, and I don't need to get saved, or I'm counting on my good works, or any number of things could be taking place. And the truth of the matter is, you know, those people, when the rapture takes place, it seems like, because they're religious, it seems like because they've grown up, you know, in church maybe, or doing good things, or whatever, you know, it seems like they would say, wow, this is the rapture, I need to get saved. And yet the Bible says that God sends a strong delusion and they believe a lie. And so again, you know, this lie, whatever this lie is, I mean, God doesn't lie, but Satan will lie and there will be a lie. Have you ever thought, you know, and it is such an interesting thought, and there are fiction books, and you got to be careful about all that, but there are fiction books out there of how it all happened. But I mean, how do you explain all of the people in churches where people are saved? How do you explain them all of a sudden being gone? You ever think about that? I mean, you have to understand, we'll be gone. It's not we'll be gone and we'll come back that evening. It's we're gone. That means your car is empty. That means your house is empty. That means your job is not being taken. That means all the things you attend. That means the parking lot out here will be empty on Sunday morning. You know, all of our neighbors around here, the neighbors all around, they hear the gospel often. You know, we knock on doors. our neighbors know some of our folks by name. That's how it should be. Amen. And yet they don't receive Christ. They say, you know, well, you know, maybe one of these days. And all of a sudden, there's no activity. Or maybe the rapture takes place on a Sunday. Wouldn't that be something? Wow. But to me, that'd be the highlight. That'd be great. But all these cars are left out in the parking lot. How are you going to explain that? It's interesting to think about how good people, and we have a lot of great people around us, and they look out their back window and say, wow, those cars are still there. It's been 5 days, and all those cars are still... By then, they've heard news and everything. But I'm just saying, how do you explain that? How do you explain, you know, here it is, your neighbor, you've talked to him over and over and over again about the Lord and how to be saved, and you've told him, you've wept, co-worker, relative, loved one, and all of a sudden you're gone. And yet God, the Bible says, God will send a strong delusion. Somehow God allows that lie of Satan to keep them from trusting Christ at that point, and because they believe the lie of Satan. So it'll be a powerful lie. You know, well, aliens came. I don't know. What do you think? Anybody have a thought how that's going to be explained? I've thought of the alien thing. Yeah, you know, aliens came and took them away. You think about that. You think of they were, could be, well, they were all traitors to the government and they've been taken to concentration camps or something. I don't know. It's interesting to speculate on that, but that's all we can do because the Bible doesn't say exactly how all that happened. So we have permission of the Lord, we have power of Satan, and third thing, we have this formation of a 10-nation organization. It's going to be promoting the Antichrist, and certainly a lot of speculation on that 10-nation organization and 10-dictatorship confederation, you can call it, you know. 10 dictators, they get together. And it's always interesting when you think of dictators getting together because, you know, a dictator is, they're a dictator and they want to dictate. And when there's 10 of them, well, who gives the final dictation, you know? I would imagine they do a lot of arguing. But anyway, they're all going to get together and they're going to come together in power during the tribulation. But I think before the tribulation, they will be coming together in power. And so a lot of speculation on that. Daniel 2, verse 40, and we see it. We see it often. We covered it, I believe, when I started on Revelation and talking about different numbers and stuff. And the number 10 is one that pops up not only in Revelation, but in Daniel. Daniel 2, in verse 40, the Bible says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth..." Wait a minute, am I in the right place? Yes. "And subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes..." And how many toes are on our feet? 10. "Part of potter's clay, part of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." And so you have these 10 toes, or these feet with 10 toes, and they're made of iron and clay. And again, it's very clear that part of it will have the strength of the iron. Well, the iron comes from the iron legs. Remember, we studied this in Daniel many moons ago. And so this iron is going to somehow, as we thought about our image and we looked at it, you have the two legs, which we speculated meant East and West Rome, Roman Empire, and then they came down and there's iron in the feet and toes, iron in the feet and toes, and clay. The two do not mix well, obviously, and so that is, though it is a world empire, it is not, you know, certainly it's very shaky iron mixed with clay. But it is crucial that we understand that there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. And verse 42, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." And so, again, we have an understanding of where these, that we have these 10 toes, all right? And now we have called this, this fourth kingdom in the book of Daniel was the Roman Empire. That is history. That has taken place, the Roman Empire. And then this next kingdom, if you will, is we've called it the revived Roman Empire. Commentators will call it that. Again, that is speculation as to what it is. All we're saying is it is attached because our feet are attached to our legs. So it is bleeding down from the Roman Empire. And it has part iron, which is a Roman Empire distinguishing thing. And so we call it a revived Roman Empire, but there's 10 toes. Okay, so there's your 10 toes. Then Daniel 7, verse 7, Again, going back years ago, Daniel 7, verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Again, fourth beast, Roman Empire, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Well, we kind of think that's the Antichrist. You know, this other horn, okay? And so 10 toes, 10 horns. So 10, very important. And in this case, three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. By the little horn. So again, in our mind, fiction. A lot of, you know, Left Behind series. How many of you ever read the Left Behind series? It is fiction. Also, I think they have videos or DVDs or something. Anyway, and so again, you see 10 nations. And again, you'd have to really speculate on who those 10 nations are. People do. People have. They have had 10 nation confederations and different things. Everybody has their choices, different ideas in that. Everybody but me. I don't even try to guess. But somehow we see one horn popping up, which I believe is the Antichrist, and plucking up three. Now, what is that? I believe in the Left Behind series, it's a assassination or something of three of the kings or something like that, which I can't disagree with that. It may take place that way. Bible doesn't say how it takes place. All we know is there are 10 horns. There are 10 toes. Verse 24 of chapter 7 in Daniel, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. That's a pretty good explanation of the 10, the 1, and the 3. And so it's a pretty good explanation now of something taking place where there are 10 nations, and it would appear that one then comes up, and I personally believe promoted by the 10 somehow, perhaps voted in, perhaps however, and perhaps to strengthen his position, he eliminates 3. Don't know. All speculation. It makes interesting thinking. Let's ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, we'll get our offering and receive that. And we have a few more minutes, and I'll be able to finish this up, or, well, at least some of it. So there it is again. 10 toes, 10 horns. Now back to Revelation. Revelation 12 and verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And we already studied that, already talked about that. Again, the seven heads seem to be the world empires. We've listed those several times. We will list them again because it does come up again. But the key thing we're looking at here is 7 heads, and then there's 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And so, again, these are kingdoms, but these 10 horns again are very important. Chapter 13, 1, here's the beast. It rises up out of the sea. There's 7 heads, 10 horns. Now, upon his horns were 10 crowns. And so not only are the 7 heads kingdoms or kings, but now we see that the 10 horns, they also have crowns, and therefore they are 10 crowns that indicates leadership, indicates royalty or authority. And then upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. So this whole thing, this whole image is blasphemy. Okay? The heads all represent blasphemy. So nothing good about the 10 horns. All right? Chapter 17, verse 7. chapter 17, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 11, the beast that was and is not, we've used this verse many times, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And so these 10 kings, whatever this organization is of dictatorship over whatever they are, the Bible says they've received no kingdom as yet, together perhaps, but they do receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, and I think then is when he subdues and he actually becomes his own kingdom. So again, there's your 10. 10 is very important. So, a lot of speculation about that 10-nation confederation. Where does it come from? Who is it? What is it? Is it aligned today? And anybody have any thoughts on that? I'm always interested in what people think. Brother Collins, you have any thoughts on that? 10-nation confederation. Michigan State, Michigan. Would it be the Big Ten because there's not 10 anymore? That was a good guess. How about Notre Dame? Anyway. Who else? Anybody else? Boy, that was spiritual. Shirley?
Well, some people think it's the European Union, but you know there's seven continents.
Yeah. That's interesting. What was that called years ago, back in the 70s? There was a 10-nation something. What was that called? Does anybody remember that?
League of Nations.
Yeah. How many of you believe it's Islamic? Raise your hand. Okay. That's become very, very popular today. I've read that in a lot of newer books about that. So, 10 toes, direct from Rome, Roman Empire. A lot of people point to Rome, Roman Catholicism, Revelation 17, the whore, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, all of that. But here's what we do have to understand. I got to close because I'm going to run out of time. But remember this, okay? If, again, the toes are part of the feet, that are part of the legs, that are part of the body, that are part of the body, that are part of the head. Okay, so to just say it's got to be Rome, which again would lead toward European, well, I'm not sure we can say that. To say it has to be. We know there is a Roman influence because of the iron, but there's also an influence of all the rest. This image, this dream Nebuchadnezzar had, this world empire that was seen, we have to recognize that it all comes from one image, which is man. Man and man's efforts at ruling and being a king. Each comes from the other. We talked about that in Daniel many years ago. We talked about part of each are in the whole image. It's a beast. And all these images, you know, it's a beast with seven heads and 10 horns. Now, if you want to go back to Babylon, okay, the head, ancient Babylon, well, that's Iraq. Persia, the Medes and Persians, primarily that's Iran. The Grecian Empire, primarily, that's Syria. Then there's the Roman Empire, and it's often associated with the Western powers, the European powers. Certainly could be associated with, as I said, the Roman Catholicism. So again, you see Muslim, you see European, you see the mother of harlots, you see, you know, all of that. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Brother Hawkins, do you have something?
If we go a little bit further and
Yes, sir.
That you just mentioned into their system. And so there is a connection there also.
Very much. All religions. And the modern charismatic movement today is trying to tie everything together with the speaking of tongues, which, does that go back to anything that we can think about in history? Tower of Babel. When God confused the language, it should jump out at us that man is trying to use a universal language to bring everybody back together. But again, the Tower of Babel was bad, you see. And these religions and systems, they were bad. They're anti-God. Shirley, do you have something else?
Yeah, but I'm
not. Okay. If I did, I probably couldn't even pronounce it.
This article was saying that his goal was to build a city and a palace for a king of another people. And I put the name of the city, and it would be the New Babylon.
There is, again, let's all go back as we have to with Revelation often and say, you know, the Bible doesn't say. But it is interesting to study. I mean,
I know what the other thing was.
What is it?
There's been some talk too about how some churches, and some are well known people involved with this, trying to unite Christianity and Islam and how
it's been going on for years. To get all the religions together. Again, it's Bible prophecy. We should not be shocked at all. Because it is Bible prophecy. So interesting to speculate on that. And to right now, I don't see any 10 anything that just jumps out. But I don't look very hard. Because the 10 of the 70s, when I first got saved and I heard over and over, yeah, this 10 nation is together. Well, they're not together now, so. You know, that's why it's so much of it is speculation, because we don't know when. But it is exciting to think about. And the main thing you have to understand, just like Carol said, you know, everything goes back to something that is very evil, very anti-God. And if it's anti-God, it's in that image. Everything man has done has ultimately been sin. Amen? And we know that. And that's why Jesus came. That's why we're celebrating Christmas. Amen. Jesus came to take away our sin. Praise the Lord for that. And so that whole image, it is coming down. Amen. It is. The works of man, they're going to fall flat. And the works of man do fall flat always.